Yes, welcome. Hi, everybody. Anthony Cumia here, in for Infowars.com. Alex, I love sitting here before my little portion of the program starts and listening to Alex. Just the pleasure and happiness that I share with Alex because of what's happening, what we're seeing happening to the left. Their 1+ year temper tantrum continues. And I don't know anybody who with an ounce of common sense in this country that isn't enjoying the temper tantrum and then watching the fallout from it. How a lot of people, again, people with common sense, were labeled horrible things over the past over a year. Well over a year, and then 8 years during the Obama administration, we had been labeled every kind of ist and ism that they could pull out. And when it became ineffective or ineffective, when people would call you these things, and we all finally turned around and said, who cares? I don't care what you call me anymore. I believe in this. This is my position. I support this. They started going, uh-oh, they're not getting upset with us anymore. Like a child trying to get attention from a parent.
And Anthony, I don't mean to interrupt you while you're riffing here. I'm just here eating my lunch watching you, but I'm going to get out here right now. But I'm going to just say this. Exactly. And you know they've reached peak tantrum when Obama came out and said Trump is Hitler and is going to commit a genocide. He actually said this in front of a whole crowd of people.
Yes.
Trump is Hitler and we're all going to be murdered by him. You know now they've really reached peak temper tantrum when now a former president has called the new president Hitler. And he's going to kill all of us. Go ahead.
Could you imagine? That is the peak of insanity. And I really, I compare it to childlike behavior. If you look at people that have children or your own children, there is a point where they want your attention. They want something. And when you deny it to them, they will have what is called a temper tantrum. And that's exactly what we're seeing. We are seeing people acting like absolute children trying to get daddy's attention or mommy's attention. And it is one of the saddest things to watch. And we see this has been going on for, since the campaign started.
And by the way, my children never did this, but I've read the psychology books.
Yeah.
It's writing on the walls with crap. I mean, Obama yesterday crapped in his hand and began writing on the walls, Hitler, and then went in front of mommy and daddy and pissed all over himself. I mean, yes. I'm sorry to say it, but that's what he, and in fact, that didn't get their attention. So Obama shoved it in his mouth.
It's astounding to watch this happen. And I don't want to be so happy watching it, but I can't help it because, as I said, people like Alex and myself have been relegated to these isms and ologies and whatever else they could pull out to try to make us appear uncaring and insane and intolerant. And to see it turn around when I saw the likes of Al Franken deliver what was that even supposed to be? An apology? There was no remorse whatsoever, which I'm fine with. I don't like the idea that people can accuse you.
I mean, I agree, but it's his party that made him be stampeded into this. What about Behar celebrating that Flynn met with the Russians during the campaign? Was it true? And then her half-hearted apology. I mean, they're just jokes. I'm sorry. I'm turning it over to you, my friend. I'm watching, but you're absolutely on target, and we really should celebrate.
That's why I am, and that's why I feel so happy about what we're seeing with the likes of Al Franken. I mean, when we watched him during a lot of these congressional hearings, just with complete BS coming out of his face, trying to just stoke some kind of an issue with people that had done nothing but their jobs.
And by the way, not just call the president Hitler while the economy comes back and everything, but say he's going to genocide us.
Genocide, Alex. Hitler, genocide. Well, they have to do this because if they commented on what Trump is actually doing with an amazing tax bill, the unemployment rate going down, GDP going up, jobs coming back to this country, things we haven't seen in years or ever happening to this country, the faith that Americans have. I hear that just more Christmas lights are up already this year because people
small
just
businesses,
feel good.
Everything. Yeah, well, I'm going to get out of here and just keep watching, but I got to say this too. I've got all these news articles where universities strive for Christmas-free campuses, CNN, and then they're actually saying, no, it's banned. So they're literally becoming the Grinch here.
Banning. Are they going to ban Kwanzaa celebrations too, or any Islamic celebrations? It's this double standard again that if you're straight, if you're white, if you're Christian, you are now the new, like they say, Hitler. You are literally Hitler.
If you're traditionalist, and here's the deal.
Traditionalist.
Most of the so-called minorities I know who are the new, but they don't care. They're not even buying it. It's mainly weird, neurotic white people
yes.
that are trying to force all this insanity.
That's what we're seeing, and I don't know where it comes from. We said years ago when they started dishing out these trophies, these participation trophies, we said it's going to breed a new type of person that cannot accept no for an answer, can't accept losing some type of competition, and we will see these little temper tantrums going on, and any inkling they have of power will be abused to the umpteenth level, where you see on these college campuses them saying they don't want Christmas, they don't want things like it's okay to be white, which, you know, you can interpret that however you want.
They want total control of every level of civilization. They're a cult. They want language control.
Yes.
I mean, I can't stand ultra super right-wing churches that pull that crap.
No.
You know, I love Jesus. I'm a Christian, but I walk out of a store and some guy's screaming and yelling, you're going to hell. You're, you know, you're with that woman as your wife. I mean, they're annoying too. The difference is they're not running all the schools. They're not running my life. This is a real cult.
Yeah, and we've seen it, the indoctrinations going on college campuses, the idea that free speech is something that they can pick and choose if they just have to label something hate speech, which the criteria for that is whatever they want to come up with on the left is hate speech, and they say that that isn't protected and they have no right to speak on these campuses, and they honestly believe it. I've never seen such an uneducated group of people as far as our constitutional amendments go speak about these things with complete ignorance,
Anthony
yet
Cummings,
complete
let me ask you
confidence.
Because you're about to go to break and take over.
Yeah.
Again, folks, compoundmedia.com. Everybody should go visit, be a part of it. It's awesome. Let me ask you this question just in 1 minute. Where does it go now, though, past insane temper tantrum? I mean, if Obama has gone to writing in his own feces on the wall saying Hitler, you know, that Trump's Hitler and wants to kill everybody, then, I mean, what's the next level after that?
I don't know how much further they can go before the sane, rational people in this country really start making some noise about this. I think as the country goes forward and we see Trump doing such an amazing job bringing some of this tradition that made this country great back again, we're going to see more people come on board and really start pointing these people out for the mental patients that they are.
Well, I'm proud of the West. The West isn't even the West till 500 years ago when it started adopting everything from other cultures that worked. English is a mongrel language of everything. We just take whatever works. Black, white, you can be part of the West. It doesn't matter. And it's all about success. When we say traditionalism, we meant the most cutting edge system that produced the most choices, the most wealth, the most freedom, the most everything. And yeah, we'll take that over North Korea and Venezuela. You're damn right. We want it back. Anthony Cumia taking over. InfoWars fans get 20% off new Compound Media subscriptions. Code InfoWars20 at compoundmedia.com. All right, Anthony Cumia, I'm going to stop, but I'm
thanks,
just wound
Alex.
Up today, and I always love listening to Anthony.
Awesome.
So please, if you're watching us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, spread the live links or on local stations you're listening to. Tell folks to tune to that station right now. That's how we reach new people. We're in an info war, and I don't want folks to go to sleep thinking we've totally won. We're just turning the tide, but now the big battle is here. Infowars.com.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, people. It's out of control. Out of control. Today, a very notable day, December 7th. Back in 1941, the Japanese decided it was time to bring the United States of America into WW2, World War II, and had a sneaky little attack on a little Hawaiian enclave called Pearl Harbor. That was 76 years ago. My goodness, how things have changed in 76 years. What we remember, I think most what we remember when we bring up these anniversaries, especially ones that are, you know, closing in on a century mark, won't be long, actually, are the amazing people, the amazing generation that answered the call. These are people that were standing on lines to sign up, to get into some part of the American military machine to do their part and fight for freedom and against tyranny in this world. And they are often brought up in conversation. People that had relatives and friends from the greatest generation that fought in that unbelievable conflict so long ago. They are often brought up in conversation. What would my grandfather say? What would my grandfather fought for this or that, and he would think this or that. I have to assume that everyone that was on, let's just say, the USS Arizona, perhaps, on that fateful day 76 years ago, was not fighting for transgender bathrooms. I don't think they were fighting so men dressed as women could go into the ladies' room. I honestly don't think that. I don't think they were fighting so that some childlike behavior on a college campus was preventing free speech. Literal and figurative book burnings going on campuses. I don't think they'd have appreciated that, honestly. I don't think they would have appreciated a lot of these accusations going on. I'm not talking sexual assault. I'm not talking that. I'm talking about maybe hanging a pinup where you work. I'm talking about complimenting a girl. These type of things, these traditional practices of American men from the greatest generation, as they were called. You know, we talk about them as heroes. You look at a lot of that military equipment, especially bomber aircraft. Look at the nose of those planes. Most of them were adorned with scantily clad women painted on the nose with highly suggestive titles for the names of their airplanes. In today's society, these men, these heroes, flying missions where many did not come back, would be called horrible people. Yellow Rose of Texas. There she is with her little bippy top, her little shorts. That those men climbed into these machines with a great possibility that they were not coming back, and painted these things. These were parts of American tradition that would be looked at now as abominations and as sexist and everything. Heavenly Body, there she is. You think George Willett, Mr. What do they call him, Crafty? You think he would be tolerant to somebody spray painting over that, maybe? Maybe he's just ready to take off and go on a bombing mission over Dresden or something, and some liberal walks up and goes, "No!" and spray paints over his nose art. "That's wrong, man!" So anytime you bring up any of these amazing men, who fought the F-bomb. That's clever. Bring up any of these amazing men that fought in this amazing conflict that we were brought into 76 years ago today. Let's not forget. Wow, that guy's good, huh? That's an amazing little painting. Nice stems. Nice stems on that dame. Anytime you bring that up, just remember, don't try to imagine what they would or wouldn't be fighting for today. Because I would have to assume, and again, I don't know, but based on what I know and the knowledge I have of that generation and what they were fighting for at the time, I think American traditionalism and greatness, a commonality of patriotism, nationalism, and freedom, I think that's probably what got those guys to squeeze their asses into that narrow plane, knowing there was a great chance they would not be coming back. Again, not so some guy named Bob can put a wig on and pee sitting down in a public bathroom. I don't know any of those men from interviews I've seen and documentaries that ran out of that amphibious vehicle or that landing craft onto a beach in France saying, yes, also Bob can put on a wig and urinate next to women in a bathroom. It was the amazingness of America and American ideals that those men were fighting for, and freedom, sacrifice. Infowars.com will be right back. Greetings. Greetings. Welcome back, everybody. Anthony Cumia in at Infowars.com. We're just talking about the amazing greatest generation ever, World War II, on this anniversary, 76th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor by the Japanese. And look, we're all getting along now. Japan, one of our greatest allies down there in the South Pacific, as it were. An amazing time in history. The sacrifice and commitment by the American people to fight tyranny that was, you know, an ocean away on either side of us. But, you know, we knew what a good cause was. We knew right from wrong and good from bad. And it was a lot clearer back then than it is now. A travesty of justice happened last week in San Francisco. The Garcia Zarate case, of course, Kate Steinle murdered. I don't care what the verdict was, that she was murdered in San Francisco. And he got off pretty much with a slap on the wrist at that trial. Hopefully a federal trial will turn out a little differently. This is a guy that was deported 5 times. He was in the city of San Francisco, a sanctuary city, where they feel that the laws of the land don't apply to them, that somebody breaking the law can just go about their business and continue breaking that law with impunity. And the end of that whole thing ended up with a beautiful woman, a contributing member of society, being murdered by this guy. As if that wasn't bad enough, he's put on trial through this justice system that is supposed to work in this country. And they do not find him guilty of murder or manslaughter. Amazing. He picked up a gun, a gun that was stolen. He picked up a stolen gun. His actions were responsible for that gun going off and shooting that woman, Kate. And he goes to trial in San Francisco, and they do not find him guilty of murder or manslaughter. And this brings up another huge problem we are having with 2017 United States of America. We've heard this for years, a jury of our peers. When you are committing, when you've committed a crime, you're charged with a crime, you are entitled to a trial in front of a jury of your peers. Now, first of all, this guy is an illegal alien. Who are his peers? Should we just go down and pluck some people out of Mexico and have them sit in judgment of this man? No, a jury of our peers are supposed to be. This was what it was supposed to be and what it was for many years and what it turned into something completely different. A jury of our peers are people. It doesn't mean white or black or of certain ethnic backgrounds or places. What it is there's a commonality there. Your peership with these people are the fact that we are Americans. We have a common thread of country, culture, language, tradition, values. We know what is innately good and bad, right and wrong. We have a want to make things better. And we want the laws of this land enforced fairly, and we want justice administered. That's what the peership is supposed to be in those 12 people sitting in judgment of the person on trial. This doesn't exist anymore. When you fill up a jury box, when lawyers pick a jury, they are looking for people that have no concept of everything I just mentioned. Any type of united front where you're a peer of the person on trial because of your common ethics and morality and value system based on being an American. So how could these people possibly come up with a verdict that is fair and based on those things if they don't even believe in them? If they're plucked from this city of San Francisco, which believes in something like sanctuary for criminals, they actually have a belief system that if you're breaking the law, we will not do anything about it because you vote Democratic. You'll raise kids that'll vote Democratic. I even find it difficult to try to figure out why, what's the motivation for this thing. But it is true. There is no common thread through the juries in the American judicial system anymore that leads them to a conclusion based on the facts that they heard that is fair and just. It doesn't exist anymore. And that is a scary, scary prospect for anyone that is up on any type of charges. Not only if you're innocent, if you are somebody that they deem a social pariah in San Francisco, which at this point is anyone who is perhaps white, straight, successful. If you're any one of those, you already have a jury that probably is pitted against you. So if you're innocent and have to go before a jury that isn't a jury of your peers, there's a problem there. And just like that, if you're up on charges and you're guilty, you're a criminal just for being in this country, and you have a jury that is so sympathetic because they don't believe in the value system that we have in this country, that's a scary prospect too. I don't see where it ends. Hopefully with this momentum that we're getting that started with the election of Donald Trump. It's funny to say, and And I know some people say that and people goof on him. Wow, he's an idiot. He's this, that, and the other thing. Regardless of what you think Donald Trump is, he has turned this country on its head, peeling away the layers of bull that we have been living in, exposing so much of the hypocrisy and outright criminality going on in the government and the mainstream media. And hopefully that momentum will catch on and we will start seeing a change in certain areas like these sanctuary cities. Where is somebody supposed to get a fair trial when the jury box is loaded with people that don't share that ideology and that faith in the system? There is literally a hatred of the very system that they're sitting in judgment on. And I can only imagine having to turn around and look at a jury when you know they just have such disdain for the system in place that they are participating in. Scary prospect, my friends. We'll be back in a matter of moments. Don't go anywhere. Anthony Cumia in at Infowars.com. See you in seconds. Yes, people. Welcome, Anthony Cumia, Infowars.com. We are in a most insane, crazy, backwards, bizarro world that in some of these stories that I read on a daily basis, I'm stunned. Even today, I get stunned still. I'm used to it. I've seen lots of these stories, but this is pure insanity. Apparently, in the great city of brotherly love, which is just one of the greatest ironies I've ever heard in my life, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Some call it Killadelphia. A politician here, City Councilwoman Cindy Bass, she is looking to remove bulletproof glass that you see in a lot of these convenience stores and liquor stores in urban areas. You'll see a lot of these people work with everything behind bulletproof glass. Now, I'm silly. I would assume, and maybe I'm wrong, that you don't just all of a sudden put bulletproof glass up in your business. I go to a lot of stores, places of business where I've never seen bulletproof glass. I should ask the person, why haven't you installed bulletproof glass here? I'm assuming, again, maybe I'd get the answer, we've never, ever, ever had somebody try to shoot us. Which would be reasonable. Why go through the cost of putting up the bulletproof glass? But in Killadelphia, where armed robberies and assaults and murders are rampant, some of these business owners have decided, look, I'm going to put a barrier between myself and people who wish to kill me. And they could give their money and I could give the merchandise through a little portal through this thing. But I'll be safe from the unbelievable violence that is happening in this city. Well, Cindy Bass says right now, the plexiglass has to come down. She says she wants to put some controls on these small stores that, from her point of view, sell booze, very little food, and are a source of trouble for the district. There she is. We want to make sure that there isn't this sort of indignity, in my opinion, to serving food through a plexiglass only in certain neighborhoods. The crazy, bizarro, backwards world of Cindy Bass dictates that it is degrading and in somehow an indignity to want to protect your life and the lives of your workers and family that might be working at your store. So instead of having the choice to defend yourself in the way that you deem fit, and in this case would be bulletproof glass, she's saying no. through nothing more than political correctness. She wants this removed. There is a man, Rich Kim. Rich Kim. He resents the story, this policy she wants to enact, saying that the most important thing is safety. And he says, if the glass comes down, the crime rate will rise and there will be a lot of dead bodies. Now, honestly, a lot of these stores are owned by Koreans, Korean store owners, and they have been the focus of a lot of abuse at the hands of the very community in which they are brave enough to bring business into. It's either Rich Kim or you don't get your lottery tickets. That's pretty much the bottom line in a lot of these inner city bodegas and stores like this, these small stores. Kim's family's run a deli which sells soda, snacks, meals, beer for 20 years. He said the glass went up after a shooting and claims it saved his mother-in-law from a knife attack. Now he may be forced to take the barriers down. Can anyone come up with a logical reason why you shouldn't have these things based on nothing more than political correctness and politics? This woman is trying to ingratiate herself with her constituency, which I guess are made up of a lot of people that don't like the bulletproof glass. I guess it cuts in on business. If you're trying to rob a place and you walk in and there's bulletproof glass, it's just someone interfering with your livelihood. This is interfering with people's jobs. I'm a professional robber, and I don't like this. Again, liberals and Democrats trying to keep you from defending yourself in the best way possible, which brings me to this story, which I love. They want a concealed carry reciprocity to reciprocate. Each state will reciprocate. If you have a permit to carry a concealed weapon in the state of Pennsylvania, you should be able to drive over the border to New Jersey and still have the ability to protect yourself with your concealed handgun. This has been something that has gone to states' rights for many years. If you look at the Second Amendment, the shall not be infringed is fairly clear. Shall not be infringed means shall not be infringed. So they're looking to pass this. The House passed it already. It goes to the Senate, and I really hope this passes. This is key to American people being able to defend themselves no matter where they are. If you go through all of the background checks and what have you, that it takes to get a concealed carry in a state, why shouldn't you be able to go to another state? It's the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment of the United States of America that allows you to bear arms. A state's right should not be able to take away your rights that are God-given as a human being and in this country. There it is, the Second Amendment. Oh, they always get on that militia part. But it says a well-regulated militia. Yes, comma, being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed. Because an armed populace are the only people that could form a well-regulated militia. It doesn't say you need the militia to be armed. Obviously, you need to be armed to form the militia. That's what the actual amendment dictates. And the Supreme Court has agreed with that, mind you. But this is fantastic. The ability for you as an American to protect yourself and your loved ones in the best possible way you want to. Now, if you believe that that is a baseball bat next to your bed, so be it. No one's forcing you to arm yourself with a handgun. But if you want to be on even footing with somebody that perhaps enters your house that's armed, your car that is armed, I don't know about you, but I'd want to be on as equal a footing with that person as possible. If you're a slight woman, perhaps, and a burly man comes in that obviously could subdue you, with his physical strength? Don't you want something, the ability, the choice for yourself to make based on your constitutional rights to protect yourself? Why should a state, some politician, decide for you how best you should defend yourself and your loved ones? Absolutely unconstitutional. So when I see a bill like this, this is real meat and potatoes politics here. And I really love that this administration is pushing forward and giving Americans back the rights that they are given by being born in this amazing country of ours. Anthony Cumia, InfoWars.com. Thanks for tuning in.